call together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My father loved to watch detective stories, murder mysteries, and other very dramatic shows on television that had a very engrossing storyline. He would watch these programs practically sitting on the edge of his seat, watching the drama unfold, watching the plot develop. Characters emerge so that they seem so real to him. He watched as the conflicts materialized and often the tensions mounted. It was the uncertainty about the conclusion that kept him absorbed in what was taking place to the very end of the drama. Dad would keep one eye on the clock, knowing just what time the program would be ending, and getting very tense as he knew time was running out and no particular ending seemed to emerge. The one thing my father hated, in fact, it almost brought him to throw something at our TV set, was as the time ran out, there appeared a caption that said simply, "To be continued." What could be more frustrating than a story that doesn't have an end? What could be more disconcerting than a mystery in which the murderer never is identified? Or a romance in which the love is never fulfilled? Or get this one, and this has to do with the gospel lesson that Jason just read from the Gospel of Mark. A gospel in which the risen Christ is never seen. Well, that's what was in the gospel reading. Now, most New Testament scholars have concluded that Mark is the oldest of the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And furthermore, they conclude that the writer of Matthew and the writer of Luke relied gently on the Gospel of Mark in telling the story, but then also relied on at least one or more other sources in their presentations. Secondly, and this I think is most important, most New Testament scholars conclude that the Gospel of Mark originally ended with verse 8 of chapter 16. Just exactly as Jason read it this morning. Your Bible may very well have a footnote after that verse, indicating that later editions of the gospel added verses. The original reading of Mark ends with the women coming to the tomb and greeted by a young man who said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But now go and tell the disciples and Peter," Peter pointed out for direct attention, "tell the disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. And there you will see him, just as he told you." And so the women went out, and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And the verse ends, "And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." He is not here. Is that any way to end this story? They said nothing. They were afraid. Is that a way to conclude a gospel? And remember, gospel means good news. These faithful, caring women fled from the tomb, amazed, afraid, but they said nothing to anyone. And up flashes the caption, "The end." Not even a "to be continued." Well, is that the way it goes? Certainly not only my father would be disappointed. The end? It can't really end there. Tell us more, Mark. Please, tell us more. Tell us, as did Matthew, about how Mary recognized him in the garden when he called her by name. That's a very nice ending. Or tell us, as did Luke, about how he was walking to Emmaus when two of the disciples, two of his followers, even ended up breaking bread with him at their journey's end. That also is a great ending. Or tell us how Thomas believed when two weeks later Jesus meets them in the upper room and challenges Thomas to even touch him. I like that ending. After all, it's a story about my namesake. Mark, please finish the story. Wrap it up. Give us some kind of conclusion. Don't have us just at an empty tomb and those frightened followers. That won't preach on Easter Sunday. Well, we're not the first to be bothered by the fact that Mark seems to end the story too soon. And so in many editions of the Bible, you will find that gospel has longer conclusions that also include appearances and additional teachings, that the handwork of faithful Christians who came later, who felt that Mark had left some important things unsaid. But the best part is that his original concluded this way: "He is not here. He has been raised. He's going ahead of you to Galilee." Well, maybe that's no ending. It leaves too much up in the air. There's too much unfinished business in the story for it to conclude that way. Was Jesus going to wait for them in Galilee? Did they find him there? If so, how did they find him? What did he say? What did he do? How did that encounter in any way change their lives? Unfinished business. When is this story really going to end? Should there not be a caption at the end of Mark's gospel? The simple phrase, "He's going ahead of you." Shouldn't there be a caption similar to those on our TV set? "To be continued." Now, I have a friend who always seems to arrive early, similar to our Elizabeth Luca. If we're going to meet somewhere at noon, he's always there at least 10 minutes before noon. He's going ahead of me, and he's waiting for me when I arrive at what is the common destination. To me, there's something about resurrection faith that says that Jesus is out there, not removed from us, but rather way ahead of us, beckoning us, calling us, leading us on, and really waiting for us to arrive. You know something? The Easter story really has no ending. It really has no conclusion. Because Easter always calls us into the future. It's our future, and it's also God's future. Where will we find the risen Christ? He's going on ahead. And where is he going? Mark says he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, even as he told you. For Mark, where will the story of Jesus end? Where can they expect to find him? In Galilee. Why Galilee? Michael Moody, a disciple of Christ, minister from Dallas, Texas, offers a rationale for this that I find quite helpful. Writes Reverend Moody, and I quote, "Galilee was really home territory, the place where the disciples had grown up. It was familiar turf, where they had lived, and fished, collected taxes, played with her kids. Where will the story end? Perhaps Easter gets finished in the ordinary places of life, where we eat, where we sleep, where we work, where we play." End of quote. I believe that the story of Jesus comes to its conclusion, its fulfillment for us in our everyday events. When we write our checks, in our conversation with others, in the commitments we make which reflect what Jesus taught and lived out, in discovering over and over again he was and he is, excuse me, the truth. He was and is the way. Remember the early name his followers took for themselves was followers of the way. He was and is the life, the challenge for our lives. When we discover the holy in the midst of the routines of life, that's where he continues to come to us. Easter gets finished wherever the story is told, wherever the faith is lived, so that others see it and hear it and are claimed by it. Excuse me. The story of Jesus comes to its conclusion whenever and wherever those who know him, know not just know about him. After all, the Hebrew sense of the word know really means to be in relationship with them. Those who know him, that is, are in relationship with him. Those who love him and end up taking up his cause and become his witnesses, not just in words, but in concrete actions, where the hungry and the naked are fed and clothed, where justice prevails, where each person is seen as unique and to be honored for who that person is, where in a very real sense life does triumph over death. That, to me, is where the risen Christ is to be experienced. You see, the Easter story never ends. It never has, and it never will. It's unfinished business. Easter is not about endings. Easter is about possibility. It's about promise. It's about expectations unfulfilled and a future way beyond our control, a future in the hand of God. You see, Mark could not tell the end of the story. What he wanted to really give us was a faith that would see us through to the end. That's Easter. And I believe that was the experience that Albert Schweitzer had, whose words we have used as an affirmation of faith every time we come together on Easter Sunday. So please stand if you are able, and let the words of Albert Schweitzer be our affirmation as well. He comes to us as one unknown, without a name, as of old. He comes to those men who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, follow thou me, and sets us to the tasks which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands, and to those who obey him, whether they be wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the toils and conflicts, the suffering in which they shall pass through in his fellowship, and as an ineffable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is. You may be seated.